Okay, I hit record. Let's just fucking go. I'm so fucking done. Jesus F. Christ.
Okay, yeah, welcome back to Your Time Starts Now, a Taskmaster podcast. How are you, Joe?
Yeah, just skip me. Skip, go, talk, speak.
Okay, I got a new job.
Did you?
Yeah, I work in an escape room now. Well, I say I work, I haven't started yet. I have to do training, but before I do that, I get to play the rooms in the escape room completely free later this week. So that's fun. Can't say no to free stuff.
Brand new.
Yeah, that's all of the exciting stuff in my life. Sure there's nothing with you, Joe?
We had the Halloween party this weekend. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just, the amount of nonsense that occurred while I was trying to set up my computer is very, very, very annoying.
How often does your computer decide to update, Joe?
I don't let it update when I'm most of the time, so it's usually one of those, like, you will do it now sort of things.
Oh, dear.
It's because I use my computer, and then when I don't, it's just on. So it'll be like, you will do it now, or... You know, or something like that. Or
do it now or die.
Like, well, no, it's also that, like, you know, sometimes it just slows down because it's been on for a month. And so I hit restart and then it decides, well, now's a good time to update. So
we took a week off because of some weird mix up between us.
Yeah, no, that one was on me. Emerson said he didn't have time to edit on Wednesday, which meant that I took that he didn't have time to do anything for the show that week, so I made plans, and then he messaged me at like 3:30 in the afternoon on the day we record and was like, you good to record? And I'm like, no, why the fuck would I be ready to record? You said you weren't. So that was fun. Oh well. Anyways, this episode's called The Barrel Dad.
Yep. Would I call it the strongest quote of the episode? Probably not.
No, it's there's a bunch of actually, I am going to say this episode has a bunch of strong quotes that would have been better.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say this episode, like the last one I felt was a very mid-tier one. This one is a sleeper on the upper end of things. Like, this one's a very good episode that just doesn't, like, do any one thing stands. This is one of those ones where you, like, think about it later and it's like, oh yeah, this one really was good.
We started strong with the banter because Greg basically...
The deeply uncomfortable banter.
Well, what Greg says just a bunch of stuff about him being an amazing Greek god of a human person. A Greek god of a human person.
And then Alex moans off screen. Let me rephrase it. It was uncomfortable for me to listen to, not for anything else.
I love Alex moans, and then Greg just looks at him like, this guy, what the hell is he up
to? Well, it's also that they have the shot set up so that Greg is on the left, is on the right side of the screen with just a huge amount of blank space to the left specifically, so they're not showing Alex. Maybe there was a reason for that. Alex Horn's very public humiliation fetish is really one of the things that grates on me quite a lot. Like, I don't enjoy the things that this man will willingly do for his television show. At all.
Anyway, what's the prize task, Joe?
Prize task is the best present for a doctor. You did it. I did it last time. So
I shall do it.
Yes.
Wait, so that means... No, that was last week. So I did the prize task. Yeah, I get to do the toddler task, which I really wanted to talk about. Okay. So yeah, the prize task is the best present for a doctor. We start out with Paul, who is, important to note, the only actual doctor on this panel. And what he's brought in is like this weird hat with a beard sewn into it. It's not like a a pretty obvious, or like an easily mistakable fake beard. It's very obviously like strands of wool hanging down from the hat. And he brought this in because when he's talked about being like a doctor and a chaser, if you're on a plane and someone's like, oh God, is there a doctor in here? The hat and beard won't make you look like a doctor, pretty much. So Joe is next. And Joe has brought in a BMX bicycle. This bit is pretty funny to me because Joe just sort of like rambles a bunch of stuff about BMX. Do you remember there was this episode of... There's a very old episode of The Simpsons. It's called Bart Gets an F. It's considered by many to be one of the best episodes of the show. And at the beginning, Bart has to give like a book review of the book Treasure Island. He's not read the book, obviously, because it's Bart Simpson. But he basically just says it's about these pirates, and he basically just describes the pirate at the front of the book, and that's pretty much it. I felt like Joe Thomas talking about the BMX bicycle was sort of like that. He had no idea what he was talking about. And then when he was asked what BMX stood for, he said, and what I'm about to say would probably have been my pick of the for the episode title. Bicycle, my excellent bicycle. That will probably be our episode description. You all right there, Joe?
Yeah, that's... I hit the mute button so that I hit the mute button because you were just talking, and so I was... It didn't want to unmute when I came back.
So, Ian Sterling, God bless this man. So... Ian's speaking from his own experience attending... Did he say which university he attended? Anyway, so when Ian... I don't think it literally called him Ethan for some reason. Ian attended university. All of the medical students were either... This just goes to show how... Ian makes me confused because he's Scottish. But after he like... He's what am I trying to say? He said that all of the medical students in his school were hard party goers. Is that right?
He said basically they were all raging alcoholics and like just drank all the time.
Exactly. They're all raging alcoholics. So as a result, Ian has brought in a going out kit in a hamper, and there's a bunch of glow sticks and a bunch of alcohol and...
Yeah.
The alcohol, yes. The glow sticks remind me of the summer camp I was at because the kids had, like, dances, quote-unquote, every 3-4 weeks or something. And it was, like, a time for them to, like, put on nice clothes. Well, yeah,
I think he was trying to more imply that it was, like, a rave culture thing as opposed to binge drinking in that sense, which Paul did not agree with. At all.
But yeah, that's what the glow sticks remind me of. Next, we move on to Lou Saunders, who has brought in a herb gun and a bottle of whiskey. Plain and simple, because who doesn't like herbs and who doesn't like whiskey? And finally, we have Sharon Gibson, and she's brought in a little badge with a star system on it. Like, and her reasoning is that in McDonald's, the employees will have like little stars on their name tags to show.
I have never heard of this, and no one does this.
It's probably a British McDonald's thing because British McDonald's is one of the best places in the world.
In how that does? What could you possibly have there?
Well, there's a... First of all, it's sort of just it's referred to as Mackey's for short in the UK, and it's quite fun to say. I'm just going to go get Mackey's. It's cheap, it's affordable, but one of the best thing, my favorite thing about UK McDonald's is there's this video online, and the guy behind the counter, because you know how like there's every order has a number, and the people behind the counter will shout it out.
Vaguely.
Well, basically, there's this huge crowd of people at McDonald's.
Does he shout out order 69 and everybody goes nice?
Yeah, well, they don't all say nice. He does say 69, but there's this huge crowd. He says... Everyone's favorite number, 69, and the whole place just explodes. And it's like, it's kind of beautiful in a way because McDonald's, it's like McDonald's bringing people together.
That is the least McDonald's-esque situation I have ever heard of in my life.
In UK McDonald's, that is pretty average, I'll just say.
I thought that we had nothing going on where I lived, but you guys take it to a whole nother level.
Oh, God. British McDonald's is great. The menu items are, I mean, there's probably no more than about 20, 30 items on the menu in total, because it's British McDonald's. There's not really a lot to choose from.
It's also just a McDonald's. You're talking to me as if it's like some mystical and far off land, as if
that's because it is.
It's a place
because it is.
There's two of them within a mile of my house. You get McNuggets there.
Yes, but that is an American McDonald's.
Okay, Emerson, who invented McDonald's? It wasn't.
I think it's.
It wasn't the English. It was the Americans. Therefore, we're doing it correct, and you guys are doing it wrong.
No. I don't believe there is a correct way, but I believe there is a better way, and there is nothing quite like a British McDonald's after on like a Friday or Saturday night when everyone's pretty pissed and waiting for their food.
Oh, that's right. Your country's full of alcoholics. Yes, let's continue.
Please, let's talk about Sean. So Sean's fake badge says, "I'm fab at jabs," and featured 5 stars. And before Greg scores, Paul chips in saying that as the doctor, I'd like to give the thing that he likes the most. And I can't remember what order he gives, but I do remember that he does not put his own thing first. And because of that, oh no, he says he would prefer the BMX. I know, but... He preferred the BMX, but the whole point is that he did not put his own thing first. And so Ian Sterling gets up and saying,
"You didn't even say your own one! Sabotage everyone else and not even give yourself the fight. Who does that? That's like running the 100 metres, tripping everyone up, and then picking someone, throwing them over the finish line.
Not everyone's as dysfunctionally competitive as you, Ian."
Oh, well, I wasn't until bloody you came along.
So yeah, Ian says that, and then Greg, because he's the, and I use this word in air quotation marks, little shit that he is, he puts both Ian and Paul last.
Mm-hmm.
He gives Lou 3, Joe 4, and Sean Gibson 5 points. Do you have any objections, Joe?
Oh, yes, let me think about this for a second. He put the bicycle first, right?
No. He put Sean's. Is it Sean? Sean's badge came first.
Okay, so
then Joe, then Lou.
So here's the thing: is that my dad is a doctor, and one of my older brothers is a doctor. Yeah. I can tell you right now. I can tell you right now. The BMX would not. Actually, no. Let me think about that. A BMX bike would not be something my dad likes. My dad does bicycle quite frequently. I would have to say that probably, you know, of everything, I would put Lou in first, because that's something that I know both of them would like. The hat with the beard from Paul would be second. The going out kit is probably tied with the bicycle in third. And then I can safely say that both of them would actively throw away the badge with a star system on it. Like,
the funny thing is, we didn't pause to let Spelvin come out of his Taskmaster Joe, so he's probably just screamed it somewhere by now.
You bet. Just put it after this. Don't drop it in the middle of the thing. Just put it right here.
I won't put it in the middle. I'll put it before. I'll find a bit of dead air and do it.
Well, no, just put it here afterwards so that, because otherwise they'll know that I didn't break my, otherwise my sentence flow will be weird.
All right. For the first time, we'll have the Taskmaster Joe jingle after Joe gives the points.
Yes.
It's the Taskmaster, and his name is Joe, and he's gonna tell us what we should know. It's Taskmaster Joe.
And then, just...
This won't be the norm. And I assume we didn't have a Hawaiian shirt count either.
No, I Oh, shit. I didn't even think to look. I was so busy today.
This is what a week off does to you people.
No, okay, listen, Emerson. As you will discover, working for a living is very time-consuming. It's very time-consuming. I was in a meeting that was told to be... I was told it would be 15 minutes. It took an hour and 45. You know, things like that. Oh, my God.
It's gotten to the point where me and Joe can't decide whether we love or hate each other.
Let's continue. This has an adapted version of the task from director Sivmira, Taskmaster Croatia, Season 1, Episode 7. So that's one of the first adapted prize tasks I've ever seen. And then, is Emerson dead?
No, I'm alive.
Okay. Right. Now we're on to...
I thought you were dead when you pissed off for a second.
I did not.
Anyway, what is the first VT task, Jose?
The first VT task is get the toilet paper through the toilet seat. The brief is specifically get this loo roll through the toilet seat. You may not lower the toilet seat. Fastest wins. Your time starts now. Now, for those of us watching the show, there is a... And for those of us listening to this who haven't watched the show, or for those of us who have watched the show and like the visual joke, there's a toilet seat suspended about 15 feet in the air off of the edge of the Taskmaster house. The task is being presented in the yard on a barrel directly underneath the toilet seat. This
isn't where the barrel dad line comes from yet. That's a bit...
No. I think they just got some 55-gallon drums, and when they realized they were being used in multiple outdoor tasks, they put them together as, like, because they were... They film all these out of order. But, so the obvious thing is that you're going to throw the toilet paper through the toilet seat. And the issue is that there is also a toilet in the house. And this is one of those tasks that is really, really important that everybody takes stock of their situation and surroundings before they commit to anything, because we immediately are shown Ian Sterling and Paul Sinha, who did not notice that the toilet seat was hanging in the air directly above their heads, because neither one of them looked up. Instead, they both assumed toilets... No, you always have to look up, because we're in season 8 of this fucking show.
In one of their cases, it didn't matter.
Oh, okay. I feel as though Ian would have acted differently had he seen the toilet seat hanging in the air. Because Ian and Paul both go into the Taskmaster house, go into the bathroom, and somebody on Alex's staff probably made sure that the toilet seat in the bathroom was up. So the toilet seat is up. They naturally assume they can't put it down. So they both try and feed the toilet roll through the space between the lid and the toilet seat.
They could do that. There was nothing saying they had to use the toilet seat suspended in the air.
Well, no, but the issue is that the last line is fastest wins. So if you had just pulled if you just thrown the toilet thing through the air and you'd gotten it through on the first try, like a basketball player, that would have been the fastest one. But, and so what they did is that, like, Ian... Well, let's talk about Paul first. Paul unrolled the toilet roll and slowly fed it through the space between the toilet seat and the lid.
Well, he had, like, no urgency.
He had no urgency, really, which I think, judging by his performance in the live task, I think he thinks that finishing the task is more important than finishing it quickly, because he assumes that everybody else will mess it up, which sometimes pays off, sometimes it doesn't. So he feeds it through the back of the thing, and it takes him 13 minutes. Not a contender in this. Ian Sterling, though, runs into the thing, notices how small the space is, and immediately comes to the determination that loo roll, in this instance, is the cardboard tube inside the toilet paper roll as opposed to the toilet paper itself. So he very quickly unwinds the toilet paper and flattens the cardboard tube and shoves that through. He does it in 1 minute and 4 seconds, arguing, you know, just to be specific, he said the tube was the loo roll while the paper was loo paper, because of course we have to be like this. But obviously there is some debate on that that we will get. But then we get Joe, Lou, and Sean, who all do the who all do it in the way that is probably more correct for this. This is a task where it's where there is a correct way of doing this. So Joe Thomas,
if there is a correct way to do this, why did the highest scorer do it the incorrect way?
Because Greg Davies didn't score this in the proper manner. I would not have.
I sense some contention.
No, seriously. We'll just fast forward to the scoring for Ian and Paul, which is that Ian argued that the cardboard tube was the loo roll and the rest was loo paper. So he said that that he successfully did the task, and Greg accepted that. I personally would not have, because they now make toilet paper where there is no center cardboard insert, and it's very obvious that it means toilet, the whole roll, as opposed to just the cardboard insert. And so
there's a rise of toilet paper without the cardboard.
Well, yeah, because it's environmentally more conscious and blah 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 blah. It's a choice that some places make. Also, if we really want to be particular about this, both Ian and Paul technically lowered the toilet seat in the bathroom ever so infinitesimally because it was at a 90 degree angle when they started. So they had to lower it ever so slightly to get anything through there. The only way they would have been able to appropriately lower the toilet seat to get it through without lowering the toilet seat would be to smash the lid on the toilet and then feed it through the resulting hole, which I would have loved to see. And if that had been the test, I would have done that. But it's their fault they didn't look up. So I would say that Joe Thomas is the one who probably did this the most correctly, because he just kept throwing it at the toilet seat and eventually got the whole roll through in a minute 38. Then Lou kept throwing it, and because it's a toilet paper roll, nobody stopped to like tape it down or anything. She kept losing it when she missed, losing bits of it as she missed when it unrolled. She got most of it through in a minute 19. And then Sean fashioned a large stick out of a couple of pool cues, I think, and poked and got stuck the toilet paper roll on it and got it through eventually after 5 minutes. But the problem is that in the 5 minutes, she'd lost most of the toilet paper. So the scoring for this is a bit weird. Greg gave Ian 5 points. He gave Lou 4, Sean 2, and Paul 1. Joe Thomas got 3rd, but he got an extra point for being the only one
getting
to actually
the
get
the
entirety of the toilet paper roll, cardboard insert and all, through the toilet seat. I personally, if we want to drop like a really, really fast forwarded version of the Taskmaster Joe theme right here.
Okay.
It's the Taskmaster and his name's Joe, and he's going to tell us what we should know. It's the Taskmaster Joe.
I personally would have put Joe Thomas in first. I would have put Lou and Sean second, Paul's third, Ian not qualified. Because he didn't put the toilet paper through. Which also, this is a very British-ism sort of thing, because Lou roll is not something that we say in American English. He's put the toilet paper through the thing. That would have been an entirely different set of semantic arguments.
That exact wording, put the toilet paper through the thing.
Yeah, that would have been a semantic nightmare, or it would have been put the roll of toilet paper through. It would have been very different. But there's a lot of ways to do that. But the moral of this one is look up more. And then
look to the stars, as they say.
Yeah, and then we're
even
on
though this
to,
took place during the daytime.
Yeah, and then we're on to the next one, because there is no adapted task. So make okay. the best thing to entertain this toddler.
This is mine to talk about.
I know.
I get to introduce the task. Make the best thing to engage a toddler. The toddler will have 5 minutes with your thing. Most engaged toddler wins. You have 30 minutes. Your time starts now. One thing I made of note is that Paul acknowledged that there was a pun of engaging the child, because the task was presented on a plastic potty. What are these called in America? Are they still called potties?
Oh, God. My nephew isn't old enough to be toilet trained yet. It might be potty. There might be some other name. We'll find out in some time. But I think it's just called the kiddie's toilet or something like that.
Yeah. Potty training. I met Joe's nephew. He's really cute.
Yes, he is.
There was this weird thing where it felt like someone, while they were preparing their thing to engage the toddler, it felt like someone was singing along to the background music. I'll just play a little bit of it here.
The music in this episode was very interesting. I believe there was also a different there was a new background score being played during the toilet paper task as well. Like there's a couple new musical stings in this that I wasn't really sure of. Where it came from.
There's a lot of new musical stings, especially in the Channel 4 era, because that's when the themes get. And I was saying, I was rewatching Taskmaster New Zealand recently, and because Taskmaster New Zealand started when there was like 9 seasons of the UK version, they went in hard with all the stings that you probably would have expected to hear from like series 3, 4, or 5, mm-hmm. and so on in that era. And it's just so weird, because I don't associate those music tracks with the beginning of a Taskmaster.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I wrote, whoever is singing along to the background music, I want more of you in my life. So then the door opens and the toddler walks in. It's the same toddler for everyone. It's a little girl called Nell. Nell is very cute.
Is this one of Alex's children?
No, Alex has only boys, and he's very protective of their identities going online. So this had to be maybe a close friend of his.
Or they just found a child actress.
I mean, it's probably not really acting, no offense.
Well,
no.
It's an acting role.
I suppose.
It's probably covered under, what is it? What's the Screen Actors Union in the UK? Equity? It's covered under Equity, probably.
I hope that Nell was paid well for that day.
Yes.
I don't know if she had the money in hand now, but I hope it's good.
Probably your parents.
I will say, though, watching Nell made me quite emotional, because when I did pole fitness classes at my university, I had two instructors, and I didn't have them at the same time. But one of them would bring her daughter to class, and her daughter is about the same age as Nell is in this.
And that made you emotional?
Yeah, because my instructor's daughter was really cute. She'd just come up to us and like sort of try and play with us. She'd run around the poles a little bit. She had like a little scooter she would ride around on, and it was so cute. And I love when little kids just do little kid things like that. Yeah, and I remember my last session, I actually gave her a hug.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just like, yeah, you miss those times, right?
I have no comment on that. I don't think I've experienced a situation exactly like that.
Anyway, sorry, that was my... Nell is very cute. The audience awes as she comes in. So we start with what Joe's done, and Joe has made this thing called a version of Play-Doh, which he's called Jodo. I think there's some sort of karate joke in the studio afterwards. But for now, Nell just sort of like... She runs straight past it at first, which is really funny. And then Alex has to sort of get her to play with it.
Okay.
And I didn't really have any notes.
Nell poked at it and played with it. Once Alex sort of like informed her that it was there, she played with it to a degree, and then just sort of poked at it. But it really did not feel like it was played with.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, what can you really do with Play-Doh? And then I just thought you can make model stuff out of it. Anyway, Ian, in classic Ian fashion, has made a puppet called Claire, and we know Ian's relationship with puppets, both on and off of Taskmaster.
I wondered, because Greg introduced this as, like, children's TV presenter Ian Sterling, and I was like, he's going to have made a fucking puppet. And then Alex said it was a puppet, and I was like, I knew it.
The thing is, it's described here that Claire is made out of a shopping bag and bubble wrap, but it looked like it was made out of... looked like it had the body of a Henry Hoover.
Well, there was also a face screen. Like, this is pre-COVID, but this is one of those plastic face screen protectors that nowadays everybody uses if they don't want to wear a mask for COVID. But at the time, was more of like if you're doing, like, woodworking or something.
You know what? Do you think it looked a bit like a Henry Hoover?
I know what a Henry Hoover is. No, I don't. It looked more like an upright vacuum than a Henry Hoover. Henry Hoovers are shop vacs as opposed to a more upright vacuum, like a Dyson or a Hoover. And we actually don't really have Hoovers
Henry
anymore.
Hoovers are such a British thing.
Oh, trust me, I'm aware. There's no equivalent of an anthropomorphized shop vac brand in the United States.
I'm just gonna it's like a Henry Hoover in it. I'm trying to think of things that would make good like titles for the episode. So I was just sort of like, can I say
anthropomorphic vacuum? There we go.
Anthropomorphic vacuum. That's an interesting one. Alex operated the puppet under Ian's instructions, and he didn't really put on a voice for Claire, which was a bit distracting in my opinion. She thought it was okay.
The kid interacted with it immediately and continuously and like left with bits of the bubble wrap. Like success wise, not a lot of other stuff got more successful than Claire the puppet, other than Princess Sean, as you will show.
Princess Sean, speaking of which.
I think that was the only thing more.
Okay. Princess Sean. This was quite ahead of its time, I thought, because what year was this?
2019, yes.
Just 1 year later, the whole world goes into lockdown because of COVID.
Yes.
And Joe Wicks makes Keep Fit videos for kids so that they could stay active during the pandemic. It's a fun time. And this just reminded me of that. He got an MBE for doing that, Joe Wicks.
I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
He's a British fitness coach. And yeah, across the UK, well, across the world, really, but mainly the UK, people were just... But yeah, Joe Wicks, bit of an important figure during the early stages of lockdown in the UK. But Princess Sean has made an exercise video on an iPad. The iPad goes in a box for the toddler to watch. Nell makes an attempt at doing the exercises, I think. But the thing that she loves is the iPad itself, which she actually takes out of the room with her.
Yeah,
there's never been a greater summary of what kids are interested in nowadays. Because when you and I were growing up, we just had our toys and that was it. We've got two people left. Lou has done something quite dark. She's hung a rubber duck by the neck from a piece of rope. And she's recorded a song that encourages the duck to be hit on the head with what looks like a croquet mallet.
They don't see it as dark at all.
I mean, it's like, I'll play the song because I don't want to sing it off the top. Why am I soundbiting so much? But yeah, just play the song. As you can tell, it's got kind of like an innocent sound to it, and then it just goes like da 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 da, hit the ducky on the head, boink. You can see that one of the duck's wings has been ripped off.
Well, she cut it off in the building montage because that's where she stuck the phone. And then also in the building montage, she's like, "Does this look a bit dark?" And she hung the duck from a rope around its neck, which is why there's a bandana around the duck's neck to hide the rope.
Your microphone is getting more and more corrupted, just saying.
What do you mean it's getting more and more corrupted? I fixed it 3 times. Is it buzzing now?
It sounds like you're speaking through the end of a tube.
Why didn't you say anything earlier? Oh my god. Did it fix anything? Is any of this better?
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh my god. Here, I'm going to unplug it and plug it in. Keep talking.
Okay. So yeah, Shauna's has very aggressively ripped one of the duck's wings off to get
this any better?
It. So yes, that's a lot better.
Oh my god. Okay.
So yeah, that's that. And Paul's up last, and what Paul has done is he has made like this weird ecosystem thing with a bunch of ducks and a toy shark. And there's Paul is smart because he has audio stimulation of like ducks quacking and stuff. So we can sort of link. This reminded me of like a sort of like an interactive thing in a science museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't been to the science museum in London for time. I remember I went there so much as a small child.
Okay.
Well, I'm getting nostalgic from this task, man. But yeah, Nell comes in and rather unfortunately, she steps on the edge of the tray, falls down a little bit, and water sort of splashes over her feet. Thankfully, she lands on a cushion, so it's not too big a fall. But she's willing to put the ecosystem, as Paul would have described it, back in place. And she has a nice little time with it. She just sort of plays around and stuff. And I think, does she take some of the stuff with her at the end?
I do not remember. I'm trying to think of it, and I just do not remember.
Oh, well, but Nell clearly liked it, and Greg clearly liked it, because Paul and Sean both got 5, Ian and Joe got 4, and Lou got 3 points.
Yep, I'll go with that one. And then this is an adapted task. This has adapted tasks, specifically 1, Season 3, Episode 7 of Stormester. And
1 more VT task to go?
2, because we have a tiebreaker at the end of the show.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be much to say with that, though.
It's still a VT task. So this one is where we get the Barrel Dad name from. The task is, put the most weight in the hammock without anything falling out of the hammock. If anything falls out of the hammock, you are disqualified. Most weight in the hammock after 10-minute wins. Your time starts now. There is a hammock on a frame sitting in the yard, and this is a team task. This is a team task in which 2 adults shout at each other while a third one barely helps.
Does anything. He tries his best.
This is Rod Gilbert's team from the last season.
I was about to say that.
This is James Acaster, Rod Gilbert, and Phil Wang again. And then the other one is
Joe and Sean.
No, the other one is in the same vein of like actually.
Joe,
did it unplug again?
I think it might have.
Hear me? Did it unplug again?
Well, it doesn't sound good. I'll tell you that.
Oh, for the love of God!
It's plugged in. I don't. Is it?
Oh wait, hang on. It sounds okay. It sounds okay.
I'm getting a new microphone. I don't fucking care.
Let's motor through this.
Okay, so how much did you hear? How much did you hear?
Not much of it.
Okay, so...
But you like, literally, you cut out, and then I was just like, Joe, you okay? And then you're like, I was like, oh God, is it unplugged again? Like, so you probably maybe said a sentence.
Maybe. Okay, so this is Lou, Ian, and Paul versus
you mentioned that it was like Rod Gilbert's team.
It was Rod Gilbert. This is Rod Gilbert and this is Rod Gilbert, Paul Chowdhury, and James Acaster versus...
No, it was Phil Wang.
Phil Wang, I'm sorry. Phil Wang and versus...
That would have been if that was a team, nothing would have been gone right.
Versus and Mel and Hugh from a few seasons back. Mel Giedroyc and because Sean and Joe work very well together. So we start off with the arguing couple and their friend who spend a very long
time bickering over what they should do and how they should do it. Because Lou wants Ian to get into the hammock. Ian doesn't understand why. And then while they're yelling and trying to grab things, Paul is just grabbing.
I hate to interrupt you, Joe, but your microphone has gone all crappy again.
Christ, is it better?
Nope.
Is it better?
Nope.
Kill someone. Is it better?
Say something again.
Is it better?
It's louder, but it still sounds very vibrating.
Is it better?
Yep, that's good. Keep going. Just okay. Talk.
Gee, I'm sorry, by the way. So, meanwhile, Paul's just grabbed a barrel and is, like, not helping. So... But eventually, Paul is like contributes by like saying they should only put stuff in at the last minute of the task, that they don't have to worry about balancing everything. And Ian gets in. They pile stuff on top of him, including a barrel. Lou is holding him to the hammock so that it doesn't flip over, and they get 89.1 kilograms plus however much Ian weighs in the hammock. But as we will see in the scoring round, a book fell out of Lou's hands as she was putting it in the hammock, and it fell to the ground, thus meaning they are disqualified. Because yeah, anything that falls...
Lou's reaction to that is like very loudly saying, I got it! I caught it! I caught it! And then was like, your eyes at the end will prove that... And she was just like, oh shit.
Which is really great.
Which might be the thumbnail for the...
They episode. Show her... Actually, like, they show the clip, and they actually you can hear her shouting over the clip from the studio audio. But, and then meanwhile, over in Mutual Cooperation Land, Joe and Sean disconnect the hammock from the frame, lay it on the ground, and then put several heavy objects on the hammock, including, like, a bathtub, a trio of barrels, the hammock frame, and then a variety of other things. There was some argument as to whether or not this counted as being in the hammock or on the hammock, but in the end it counts, and I thought they did very well. So they get, but Greg...
3 points.
Yeah, Greg knocks them down to 3 points each because, you know, there was some dispute as to whether it was on or in the hammock, and then everybody else gets nothing. So that's basically the task, and then Emerson...
You have a live task.
Yeah, you get to do the live task and the tie break.
Oh boy. So the live task, choose a hoop you think you can throw a frying pan into. Choose a distance from which you throw a frying pan into the hoop. If you choose the big hoop, you have one attempt. If you choose the medium hoop, you have two attempts. If you choose the small hoop, you have three attempts. The person who throws most of their frying pan into their hoop from the longest distance wins. So everyone opts for the medium-sized hoop except Lou. So Joe and Sean go first. Joe puts his about halfway along the runway, which has now been christened the Nappet after last year's series incident with Jess. He can't get the frying pan in. Sean's story is pretty much the exact same as Joe. She puts her hoop exactly next to his and also can't get the frying pan in. Ian places his hoop just beyond the halfway point but can't get it in. Paul does something very interesting in that he puts the hoop almost directly in front of where he's standing, guaranteeing that he'd score a point.
Well, and almost, because when he does that, it almost bounces out.
It stayed in. It stayed in. You find a lot more of the show, actually, more of the old stuff, funny than I do because I've seen it.
I would have loved it if he had dropped it and it had bounced out and he'd missed. That would have been incredible.
That would have been like, you know, when Russell, Russell Howard was like, with the egg task, he was like getting cocky and he threw the egg up, like trying to catch it, and he missed it and it fell on the floor.
Yes. What?
Yeah, I didn't hear your reaction or your response. And I can't hear you now. Joe? Hello? Joe, I can't hear you. All right. But Lou goes...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know what's wrong with it. I don't care anymore.
I think we need to try and do this earlier so we can sort stuff out.
This has never happened.
Well, spend some time looking at your computer then.
I have.
So Lou puts it almost towards the end of the runway and manages to get the whole frying pan in. And... Oh, Jesus. Nearly knocked something over. And something about Lou's celebration just made me... I don't know. It's just like... I said it before, I wasn't really crazy about Lou Saunders. Something about this celebration of winning just didn't resonate nicely with me. If that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up being a tiebreak between Joe, Lou, and Sean. So we have a tiebreak task in the form of whip a bottle off a barrel while standing behind a rope. The most interesting thing about this task is that it takes place at Rocco training fields, where I've had a few sporting lessons back in the day. There's a distance of about, I don't know, 6 or 8 feet between them and the barrel. Joe whips the bottle off the barrel in 50.3 seconds. Lou slightly longer, 52. But the fastest with a lightning quick 9.4 seconds is Sean, and she wins the episode. So, yay, Sean Gibson wins.
Oh, yes, good. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with the microphone. This is fine.
Yeah, it might be edited out, but me and Joe have had some issues with this. This is going to be our third episode under an hour in a row, and I don't know what that says about
us. We're only getting faster.
It's just like, there's not really anything to talk about with this series yet.
No, there isn't.
But I think these 10 episode series, Series 6 I liked a bit more than I thought, Series 7 I liked less than I thought. Series 8 was always towards the bottom of how I felt, and I'm currently feeling no major changes towards it. But yeah, that's it from us. We should be back next week. I think Joe's microphone has cut out again, so I'll say goodbye on his behalf. I could just about hear what he's saying, and it's a bit funny. All right, see you next week, everyone. Bye.